America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
We welcome you back to another episode of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It is your host, Dan Canobio, and the one and only Chris Algieri. We're coming to you on 4th of July weekend. We hope that you didn't blow up any of your appendages. And if you did, you can listen to us in the emergency room. Happy birthday, USA, Algieri.
Yes, I'm a proud American, as usual, but more so right now. So on the birthday of America.
I think 4th of July is my favorite holiday. Pound for pound, wow. Best holiday. I'll tell you why. Zero gift giving. So there isn't any pressure of doing that. There's any financial pressure. It's just show up with some burgers. Everyone's
happy.
It's
also the summer. The weather is nice. Summer. And there's glizzies.
Everyone's happy. There's glizzies.
Lots of glizzies.
Everyone participates in it. Americans, at least. You're shooting bottle rockets. You're having barbecues. You're playing wiffle ball. It's just fun. It's just a fun holiday. And then it's over. It's one day. And then usually it's more than one day. Like this week, I think 4th of July falling on a Thursday is
money. Yeah, it makes it a very long weekend.
Nice long weekend for everyone out there that's working in the cubes or anyone out there that's doing the 9-to-5. I hope you enjoy it all.
Big, real quick, though, for people that are – real quick for people that are probably anyone our age and older, glizzy means hot dog.
Okay, yes, it does.
Glizzy means hot dog. So people who don't know what glizzies are.
Coney Island – wait, this is coming out on Friday the 5th. So we're in the future already. So Joey Chestnut's not in it unless he shows up.
Kobayashi's not in it.
Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut on Netflix at the end of the year.
It's going to be pretty dope.
Yeah, so everyone had a great one. It's going to be a really, really busy boxing weekend. Despite it being a holiday weekend, we'll have some thoughts on Shakur Stevenson in action. Keyshawn Davis is in action, Oshaki Foster, Abdullah Mason, William Zepeda, Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal, which you can watch live on PPV.com. I will be in the live chat on Saturday night for Diaz versus Masvidal. Order it on PPV.com. No subscriptions. You can stream it to your phone if you're out at a barbecue. You can stream it to a tablet. You can stream it to your big screen TV if you're having a little fight party. If you want to see Nate Diaz step back into the ring, Jorge Masvidal says he's going to put him to sleep. I will be in the chat, and PPV is the best way to order it. Also, we're going to be carrying Jake Paul versus Mike Perry, July 20th. I'm heading out to Tampa for that. I'm going to be in Florida for 10 days straight. I'm looking forward to that, something different. And all these fights are going to be on PPV.com. We'll have a link in our bio. Do it up. Order the fights on PPV.com. They are a proud presenting sponsor. Chris, you know what also July indicates in the fiscal calendar year?
No.
Halfway through the year. Come on, you know what the theme of the show is. I tell you the themes of these shows before we record them. I say, Chris, this episode's going to be a mid-year review show because July.
Well, you said fiscal. I was like, I got to pay my mid-year taxes. What are we talking about?
Fiscal's not the right word. You know, I always mess up the words. Fiscal, yes, that means I have to call my accountant and do my quarterlies because this is a new quarter. It's also halfway through the calendar year, not the fiscal year. The calendar year. We're halfway through 2023. I figured let's do some awards. Let's reach out to the fans. I put out a poll. Our wonderful fans, we have hundreds of responses. But what a first couple of months it's been. Like, not just like 6 months, 18 months. The last year and a half has been very good to boxing fans. And this year has been very good to boxing fans. I think it's been a great half year so far.
It's been a phenomenal start to the year for a number of reasons. One of which being Turki Al-Oshi coming in last year and making a lot of these big heavyweight fights. And also he's expanding out now. So we're getting some pretty solid cards, actually very solid cards. It's kind of changed the face of boxing because now we're getting top to bottom good pay-per-views. We've had a number of those this year, which has been awesome. And last year we had a really good pay-per-view year as well because PBC and Showtime, because it was their last year, put on some very good fights top to bottom, and it's continued, which is very cool. The Amazon deal, you know, which hasn't been awesome, but it's still a cool concept. And then Netflix is now coming into the game. Big transition year for sure. I think last year was a big transition year. A lot of it's spilling over into this year, which is a good sign. We'll see how long that lasts with boxing fans. I think in boxing people, we're always just like, all right, let's hope the good times keep rolling because we never know. But as of right now, as a boxing fan, we're in a good place.
It used to be like every other year, as there's a theory out there that my friend Brian Campbell subscribes to. It's the every other year theory, where it's impossible for boxing to have two consecutive good years. I think that's out the window now for a lot of reasons. Yeah, I think it's out the window for a lot of reasons. Number one, biggest story of the first 6 months is Saudi Arabia and Turki Alsheikh's commitment to making the biggest fights. We saw undisputed heavyweight title fight, which is going to be a big part of our award season. Fury versus Usyk, I mean, that was everything you could wish for, and then some. That's like the highlight of the first 6 months. In addition to that, we also got Ngannou versus Joshua. That was probably one of your moments of the year. And Joshua.
Oh, that was this year, right?
Yeah. And the 5-on-5 card. And there's just a lot. And there's a lot more coming. If the second half of 2024 is going to feature these Riyadh season in outside of Saudi Arabia. There's going to be cards in L.A. There's going to be cards at Wembley Stadium. UFC, the Sphere, in September is Riyadh season sponsored. So they are coming out of the Saudi Arabia bubble, and they are entering worldwide. So that probably is something you want to keep an eye on in the second half of 2024 and beyond. But to me, the biggest moment and what defines 2024 so far is that heavyweight title fight. Also, the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney saga took over the boxing world. The lead up to that fight was batshit crazy. One of the craziest promotions I've ever been a part of. Fight night was crazy. And then the ensuing chaos of PEDs and Ryan Garcia's mental health. I mean, that right there was a solid 3 months of just nonstop drama.
Well, it's never ending. It feels like it's still going on. There's still, I mean, this has been the most quiet news 2 weeks of Ryan Garcia this year, because it seems like every other week, it feels like every other week there was like some mega story dropping about him. I think it was 2 weeks ago he gets arrested in LA for smashing up a hotel room as if he was like Nikki Six or something. But it's it's been a very interesting year for Team Garcia and what he's been bringing to the sport, whether famously or infamously, mostly infamous. But he did have a great performance against Devin Haney, and we were there. Covered that for PPV.com, which was awesome, and it was a great night full of surprises, which boxing tends to be.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, that took over for a while. Another thing, too, people forget. My hero, our hero, Ismael Barroso, knocked out Davies. Because it happened in the first week of the year. It happened in early January because I was going through the boxing results. I was going through my
Nobody Twitter, mentions like, month that guy. Month. Poor bastard.
That was like the moment of the year to me. I mean, for a while, like that was awesome. It's not obviously the moment of the year, but that happened in January. January, it started really slow, the boxing schedule. It had that card, had that weird Virgil Ortiz ending. There wasn't much in January. There wasn't really much in February. March is when things kicked up. That's when the first Amazon pay-per-view, the first PPV.com pay-per-view, Tim Tszyu getting upset by Sebastian Fundora, Pitbull Cruz coming out party. He had a huge first half of 2024. That's when things really started to heat up. Like March, then we rolled right into April with Haney and Garcia. I mean, we're right into Canelo versus Munguia, which I think was a very entertaining night, a very entertaining performance from Canelo. Right into June, which had some awesome events, Fury Usyk as well. Right into June, which we are in, we just got through with Tank Davis and some big fights in the all over the boxing world. So it's had a little bit of everything. Like we've had like some shifts in the the financial side of the sport, the business side, with Turki Alashik at this potential boxing league that could potentially be happening. We're getting big fights in abroad. We're getting big fights in the States. There's a lot going on in the boxing, but I think most importantly, we're getting the right fights. Like, we're getting the big fights. There's still big fights on the horizon. That's what's most important, because that's what the fans should care about. Because that's sometimes they care about more of the financial and the business stuff. But I think in terms of in the ring, we're getting like the right fights.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're getting good cards. And I think that's been really important. And I think it's been a push from UFC because they have top to bottom good cards. And, you know, Turki Alashik came out and said that he wanted to kind of model what the UFC has done in terms of making top to bottom cards. And listen, that last card, that 5-on-5 was sick. It was just like all good fights. And like, they not only were they good in terms of like how they went about, but like it was exciting leading up to it. Like, which fight are you excited about? I don't know. There's six good fights on that card. I want to see all of them. And I'm not sure who's going to win which was great. Whenever Vegas is wrong around a whole card, that's a good sign. That's really good for the sport. You know, so that it's good in so many ways. It's good because obviously it's entertaining. It's good because there's surprises, but it's also good because people are making money. We have a betting sponsor. Like we talk about bets. So anytime that Vegas is wrong, I think is a positive for the sport and the fans on the whole.
Another thing too is I forgot about Inoue versus Neary, which was awesome 2 days after Canelo Munguia. Inoue hits the canvas. That's probably like a holy shit moment of the first 6 months. Gets up, pounds his fists together, and just
goes to work.
Destroy Luis Neary, evaporates him. That happened this year. And from a personal standpoint, we left John Boy Media and we joined PPV.com, which has been an unbelievable move. It's been, I can't believe that's happened all in 6 months. It's been great going to these fights. We've been to so many fights this year already, starting with the Zoo Fundora event. And then we were at Haney Garcia all week long. We were at Canelo Munguia all week long. We were at, the last one all week long, Tank Davis and Benavidez. So from a personal standpoint, it's been great to be boots on the ground, because that's when I feel like we're at our best. And that's when I feel like we're with the fans. We're doing the best content. So it's been an awesome 6 months. And like, there's no coincidence that our show has been doing better and our platform has been doing better, because we're getting the fights. That's what's most important. Like, there's interest. There's a lot of interest in the sport. So there's going to be interest in our show. There's going to be interest in our platform. So we're very happy with that. Let's get to the awards. I have 5 awards, and I made a Google Doc for everyone to go out and populate, which hundreds of you did. We'll start with performance of the year. I had 4 nominees. Fundora over Zoo, which was a great performance. Bloody, bloody fight. Inoue over Neary. Inoue hits the canvas. He gets up, and he stops Luis Neary. Bam over Estrada, which happened just last week, which was a virtuoso performance. And then there's Usyk over Fury. 63% of our listeners chose Usyk over Fury. I rolled with that. Chris, you rolled with that, because Alexander Usyk did the damn thing and upset the apple cart, become undisputed champion by defeating Tyson Fury for the first time in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing performance of a massive, massive fight. And I mean, Usyk just, man, he just did the damn thing, man. And we put our hats in the ring for that one, in terms of what we thought was going to happen. And I was Tyson Fury all the way through until like the very end. And I was like, you know what? I got Usyk by split decision. I think he's going to pull it out. He's one of those guys who just doesn't know how to lose and figures out a way to win. And I don't know, I just had a weird feeling. Had to trust my gut on that one. And as much as I trusted it, you know, that time, I don't know if I trust, you know, calling the rematch at this point. Like, I'm still like, I'm on the fence again. It's just that kind of fight. But Usyk is, he's something special.
Bro, it was unbelievable. I mean, that's the clear.
And the fight was awesome, runaway. Too. The fight was also really entertaining.
That's what I mean. Like, how many times in the boxing world did we get super fight? Pacquiao Mayweather, of course, comes to mind first. Or some other ones over the last couple of years where it's so hyped up and then it just doesn't live up to the hype. This fight was hyped up. It had the cut, which, you know, I think ultimately made it a little bit bigger, brought some more eyeballs to it. pardon the pun, or the cut over the eye. And then you get a unbelievable scene, like the most lit Saudi Arabia crowd, which is not, which is very
which whatever that means.
Yes, exactly. Which is like grading on a curve, but it had everything. It looked like a damn movie. The ring walks were epic. I feel like the entire boxing world stopped. I feel like the entire sports world stopped that Saturday afternoon, May 18th. And then to have a fight like that where Fury is coming out and he's bobbing and weaving and he's banking rounds and he lands that uppercut. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be a Fury win. And we're going to he's going to be cemented as the best of this generation. This is his signature win. Then out of nowhere, like usual, the freaking guy, Alexander Usyk, who I'm pretty sure is not human, finds that second gear, finds that will.
That might have been his third or fourth gear, honestly.
Right? Unbelievable. Finds that fourth gear and
flips
the whole fight around.
Endless gas tank, that guy.
And then who – I mean, you can't forget Tyson Fury being bounced around the ring like a pinball, eyes rolled to the back of his head, ropes holding him up. That was just like standing up out of your seat, screaming at the TV, the only sport that can elicit such raw emotion. That right there is obviously going to be our fight of the year too.
Dude, it was basically Rocky Drago. It's like, you know, it's like,
I, it was a movie.
Yeah, because Usyk was getting tuned up. And it's funny because like you see these interviews from Fury and he was like, I couldn't believe how easy it was. It kind of looked like that. Stop. Bro, I believe him. Because I'm watching this, and it's funny.
Fury said it looked easy.
Yeah. Fury said it looked easy in those middle rounds. Didn't you see the interview? He was like, oh, it looked easy.
Yes,
he was like,
I didn't know what he meant, though. I just rolled my eyes. I didn't know the context. What did he mean by that?
Because he was having such an easy time outboxing him in those rounds, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
right.
You know, or 5, 4, 5, 6,
then
whatever.
He decided to be a jackass and dance around.
Uh-huh. And it was funny. Like, I'm watching it. I'm watching with a bunch of my friends. And, like, so many of the guys I was with kind of just sat back and they were like, man, it's not fair. He's too big. You know, like, it was literally just like that. Because it looked like it was a foregone conclusion. Like, he's like, ah, he can do this all night. He's going to do this the whole time. And then it was literally like Drago beating the shit out of Rocky all night. And then Rocky just comes back and whacks him and then just takes over. That's essentially what it was. It was a movie.
Bro, Usyk landed 47% of his power shots and 42% total punches. I mean, this is on a defensive wizard, or was a defensive wizard of Tyson Fury. Obviously, his reflexes are going. He's up there. He's age 35. Doesn't faint anymore. Doesn't really move around the ring like he used to. And the thing we're talking about the half year in review, in the next 6 months, we're supposed to get this fight, the rematch, in December. December 21st, I believe. Who knows? Like, I would not be shocked if that gets moved to February or March of next year. But, you know, this could be another big fight on the 2024 schedule is Fury Usyk. But that clearly is our performance of the year. The listeners, 63%. I chose it. You chose it. Fight of the year is the same thing. We don't have to go through it again. It's Tyson Fury versus Alexander Usyk. This one was a little bit closer. That got 48% of the vote. Coming in at second was Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, which technically didn't exist. That fight never happened. It's expunged. I don't know what.
No, it did.
About.
It did. It happened.
It did.
It was fun. It was fun. It was a good fight. It was a close fight. It was a good fight. You know, we got to see Ryan. I mean, listen, I'm not getting rid of all the feelings I had while watching that fight. That was exciting. We were on the edge of our seat, Dan. We were there in the Barclays Center, losing our minds in front of a packed house, and people were going absolutely apeshit. So, yeah, no, that fight happened. That fight definitely happened. And listen, Devin's brain cells know what happened, too.
Yeah. Fight. I mean, if you just take away all the drama, which is kind of really hard to do, take away the preamble of that, the promotion, which at times was beyond cringe. I was embarrassed, and I'm usually not.
Hard to watch.
Take away the PEDs, which you just really can't do.
Can't.
I just feel like an asshole even saying that. Take away the drama afterwards. Just look at the fight. Like, just look, isolate the whole thing. Just isolate those 12 rounds. And it was just, it doesn't get any more entertaining than that. I mean, it's up there with Fury Usyk in terms of unbelievable
entertainment
upset,
value,
which
entertainment value, for sure.
Unbelievable upset from Ryan Garcia. He was, I mean, 9-1 underdog. Obviously now we know like there was, he had some advantages, not the weight and the PEDs, back and forth stuff. Haney having some moments early. Haney going down late. It was a big upset, and there hadn't been a big upset in boxing in a while, like something to disrupt everything. We're getting a lot of chalk lately in the sport. So if you just isolate the actual fight, then I understand why our listeners chose that, you know, with 26% of the vote. Another big part of that, Chris, was Ray Ford, Otabek Kolomov. That was when Ray Ford was down on the cards in the 11th and 12th round. They were ready to screw him over. And he came back, got a last-second stoppage. Speaking of like a Rocky movie, to get the win, to pick up a title. He then loses it to Nick Ball. But that was an awesome fight, and that was a big one that people were pointed out on Twitter.
Good one. I think it actually would have meant more if Ray went on to win and maintain his title in the Ball fight. I think it would have mattered more. It kind of seems more like now it's like, eh. It's like, right. maybe Ray wasn't the guy.
14% of the vote, Bam Rodriguez won Francisco Estrada, which is kind of funny. Like, a lot of people are saying, that's my fight of the year. That's my fight of the year. Because boxing is such a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sport. It's such a week-to-week sport. Like, I completely forgot.
Well, yeah, that's proximity bias. That's proximity bias.
Yes. Recency bias. Bam Rodriguez.
Yeah, recency bias. That's the word I meant.
Bam Rodriguez over Juan Francisco Estrada, which was a great fight because Bam hit the canvas. When both fighters hit the canvas, that usually means it's a fun fight. Not exactly sure I need to see it again. I know a lot of people are pointing out, like, oh, imagine Estrada not off of a year layoff, or imagine him, like, it doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. It's still a fun fight. It was a great fight. I'm surprised it only got 14%, but I think that the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney was just like a runaway freight train of an event. Over to knockout of the year, some really good ones this year. Coming in at 51% of the vote was Davis Gervonta over Frank Martin, eighth round, okay. Just like he told me at CVS. Just like he told me at CVS Ice Cream Mile. It made me some dough. It wins our knockout of the year. What did you pick for knockout of the year? Did you pick
Bam. I picked Bam.
Yeah,
because it's a one-punch knockout, and it was kind of a changing in the guard moment. Estrada is someone I hold very highly. A guy, like, that's the thing. Frank Martin's not a pound-for-pound guy. He's nowhere near. Never been a world champion. So for me, for Tank Davis knocking him out the way he did, very impressive, absolutely. But I don't think anyone really doubted that Tank was going to knock him out late. But with Estrada and Bam, I thought that was going to go the distance, honestly. And if it did, you know, end up in a knock, it'd be late, you know, because Estrada's a little older, a little longer in the tooth. But the fact that Bam was able to put on a virtuoso performance and completely outclass a guy like Estrada, and then one punch KO a Mexican to the body. Come on, dude. One punch KO to the body of a Mexican. That's like, that's career highlight stuff, you know? So
dude,
Bam's making career highlights at 24.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the Davis one, I think caught the attention of sports fans.
That was a wicked knockout. It was gnarly to watch.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, these are all great knockouts. Everyone on this list, a great knock. Bam over Estrada. Ramirez over... What did I have? Ramirez over Benitez? What the hell is that?
Ramirez over Benitez.
Oh, yeah. Robesi Ramirez.
Oh, Robesi. Oh, that was... Yeah, that was... Talk about recency
all
bias.
These are...
That was 4 days ago.
This is nice. The yeah, exactly. That's how shows you how our brains are fried.
Fried. Well, I worked a show Friday and Saturday. I called this is a record for me, guys. I called 18 fights in 24 hours.
It's
Friday,
it's
Saturday.
It's crazy, man.
Two different cities.
It's like, I'm talking about middle of the year. Like it's the schedule is really starting to catch up to me. But this is the best category, I think, because
knockout.
These are all insane knockouts. Barroso over Davies. Which
awesome.
Was amazing. And
shocking, first
man.
Round.
Yeah, 70 years old.
Also felt good. It felt good to see him do that.
It did feel good. It was a feel-good moment. I just
especially
went
for old man
Twitter.
Dan. Old man Dan was really rooting for the old guy. It was...
At that point, we were still at... I went back and found the high... I was talking about it. It was in the old John Boy studio. The Robesi Ramirez knockout was insane. These are all like sick knockouts. Like Davis's one was... I think 50% of the vote because it captivated all of sports. Like Bill Simmons was tweeting about it, and it was a little more vicious than Bam's. Bam's was for the hardcore. Bam's was so nuanced. Your breakdown is awesome, and it got a shit ton of views. I'm excited about that. I understand why people picked it. And it's Gervonta Davis. We'll discuss this in a little bit. Like, one of the faces of boxing. So, knockout of the year. This is an awesome group, and it's only 6 months in. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more.
And sometimes we have years where we're like, knockout of the year, and we're like, we got to find obscure, like, fights with, like, random dudes all around the world. Like, this one we're talking about, like, major names knocking out other major names. It's we're having a good year.
Yeah, it's like in a parking lot. It's like some ring set up in a parking lot, and it's taken off of, like, a camera phone. And, like, just one random account on boxing Twitter is like, this is the knockout of the year. But, these are all brand names. Moment of the year is Fury Usyk. We talked at length about that. 20% of you voted Joshua KOing Ngannou, which was an oh shit moment. I literally, my jaw dropped. Like, I knew that was going to be the ending, but that was just such a vicious knockout. It came up on my Twitter the other day from, like, the ringside angle. He just freaking evaporated a giant human being, AJ.
It's crazy to see someone that big just get crumbled. You know, like, with Wilder out of the picture, and guys, he's out of the picture. Joshua is the best single punch puncher in the heavyweight division, which makes him the best puncher in the world. Like, Joshua is the guy. He is the knockout puncher. We got Clyde.
Yeah,
Clyde
snuck sure.
in. He opened the door. Hey, buddy.
Clyde. I agree. Joshua is that guy. And then he's fighting Daniel Dubois September 21st. Can't wait for that one. They had a little face off. And did you see the face off? And when Dubois was like, we can go right now. We can go right now. And Joshua's like, don't you dare disrespect me, Daniel. And Joshua, I think, got that dog back.
Yeah.
Like, this guy.
He had it. He used to have it, man. You remember the argument he had with Dillian White, right? They were on on the grass, like, and they were on the grassy knoll, and he's telling them, he's like, you're not about this, bro.
Joshua is his career. I'm just so happy for him and, like, his story. It's not over yet.
I love Joshua. I'm such a Joshua fan.
But there was, like, a year or two where we're all dogging him. There was about a year after the Ruiz fight, and, like, he just didn't look like he cared anymore. Then he refound it. He found it again. Like, this is a hard ass sport.
It's pretty cool.
Like, I don't have to tell you. I have to freaking tell you that this is a hard ass sport where you have to reinvent yourself, especially at the top of the food chain like he has. And I just watching him, it seems a little more authentic. Like, for a while, I feel like he was pretending,
going through the motions,
coming out of his body. Exactly. I feel like now he's very comfortable in his skin as he enters, which Hearn says is the last five fights of his career. Potentially.
Wow, really?
Three time. He said he's got five fights left.
Wow. Which means they're all going to be big.
Every fight with him is big. I'm just excited to see him back at Wembley too, like, where he belongs. Like,
I'm excited about the Dubois fight. I think it's a really good fight,
bro. I want to go.
We should go.
Let's go. The content we can get on a double decker bus, like, doing all the stupid.
What's the date of that one?
Not stupid. September 21st. I think we should go. I think we need to talk to PPV.com. I need to find some more sponsors.
September 21st.
Do you remember the 21st night of September? Ultimate wedding song. Yes, that is Dubois and Joshua. That's on the next 6 months. Story of the year, you know it. Ryan Garcia, Haney, build up.
Saga of the year.
Scandal. Insane scandal. Insane saga. I liked it for, like, a little bit, and then I got so tired of it, but you got to cover it. We just talked about it at length. This one. Splitting the vote, 26%. Saudi Arabia takeover, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is not going anywhere, and it's only going to get bigger.
I didn't pick that one because I thought it kind of started last year.
So. Yes, it did, but now it's in, like, I think last year, like, a lot of fans were like, oh, I wonder where this is going to go. Like, I wonder, like, how.
Well, I think it's major that they're coming here for August. I think that's like a huge step. And see if it's gonna be something and materialize into something that keeps going.
Exactly. I think that's the next thing. I think that's the next big thing is, are they going to be satisfied with the LA crowd? Are they going to be satisfied with the Sphere for UFC 30 or whatever? Are they going to be satisfied with the Wembley one? Because that's the only knock, in my opinion, if you can get past all the political stuff, is that the fights belong in with more of an atmosphere, and they belong at better times. And now they're like, okay, we heard you. We're going to put it in L.A., Crawford. We heard you. We're going to put it at Wembley. Dubois versus Joshua already has sold like 80,000 seats. They're talking about opening it up to 100,000. That's domestic clash that belongs there. That's a big story, is the Saudi Arabia takeover. 24%, first undisputed heavyweight champion in 20 years. Love that. 7% was Canelo avoiding Benavidez, which for about 3 weeks, it was all anyone wanted to talk about in like March and April. And which is still going on to this day, because Canelo is rumored to be coming back in September, Chris. Berlanga and Jermall Charlo.
Candace. Ugh.
What?
Jermall? That would...
I think it's just Berlanga at this point.
I think... Listen, I don't love the Berlanga fight. I like it because I like Edgar. He's my boy, but I want him to get the opportunity. I don't think it's a great fight. I think he needs more seasoning for sure. But also, it's a sellable fight because the Puerto Rican Mexican. Puerto Rican Mexican fights are always... There's always a sale there because you've got two huge fan bases that everybody tunes in. And, there's a storyline that Berlanga, listen, the guy can punch. He's big. He's young. He can punch. He's aggressive, especially early on. He does have some boxing ability as well. It's just, for me, it's just the experience level is so out of control. So it's wide. Crazy.
Munguia was wide.
Munguia was wide, and Berlanga is way below Munguia in terms of who he's been in the ring with. Does Berlanga get past Derevchenko? Probably not.
We'll never know. You know? That's what I mean. I feel like Berlanga skipped like 10 steps. Like he's going right to college and like from like third grade. And he needs to fight like a Derevchenko. He needs to fight a Daniel Jacobs. He needs to fight a.
Yeah.
Caleb Plant.
Well, it happened to me with Pacquiao. Like I had to jump so many steps because I had a huge win, and it wasn't the right time for me. And that hurt me
monetarily,
quite a bit.
You had to do it. And
I had no choice, of course. And it was also a great opportunity to fight Manny Pacquiao, who we thought was at the end of his career at that point. So obviously not. But
which is nuts because he went on the fight for like 8 more years.
Yeah, and he's trying to come back now and fight Mario Barrios for a title.
That could happen. That could be the next.
Seems like it's going to.
Crystal
and
ball.
He might win, honestly, which is crazy.
That would be kind of cool. I would be like, I hate it every second of it, like right now. But like, I don't know. One more time here and dun, 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 dun. There it is. Dun, dun, dun.
There he is.
And he comes in. Arr! When he beat Thurman, which is his last win.
That was pretty cool.
That was freaking awesome. That was when Fox PBC. I was working.
Somehow
with
that was a split decision. I don't know how. Like that was
awesome
such a crazy
fight.
Scorecard. Why do they
awesome
always try
fight.
To rob? They always try to rob Pacquiao. It's so crazy. Like you rarely see the top guy in the sport get robbed as much as Pacquiao.
Yeah,
has.
He just was like so popular where he was the money man, and then he got so popular where he was let's screw this guy over.
Yeah, over and
we can
over.
Make a rematch.
The
like
Jeff
Horn
fight,
which was around this time.
Everyone talks about the Tim Bradley fight. Even the Thurman fight was a split decision. How? He gets dropped early, gets almost ended in
Thurman
the middle with body
moments.
Shots. Yeah,
Thurman
but like Pacquiao
moments,
just walked. He walked through everything. Pacquiao literally smiled at him when he cracked him with a 1-2-3. I remember Thurman hitting him with literally a jab, right cross, and a left hook, and Pacquiao was like, he came right forward,
crazy,
like started beating him up again. It was like, Pacquiao's something else.
He took a lot of punishment in that fight though. Like Thurman,
he
did land some bombs.
He just wasn't worried. Pacquiao wasn't worried about him at all.
Right, and he's going to remember that first round knockdown was one of the loudest roars I've ever heard in the arena. It's up there. When he knocked down Thurman in that first round, it was
undercard of that was Sean Porter and Ugas, and Ugas put on a ridiculously good performance. Most people had him winning
prime
that fight.
Ugas.
Yeah,
that was good times. So that was like right before COVID. That was PBC on Fox. I thought things were going to be – things were heading in the right direction, but then COVID –
I was at my buddy Tariq's house watching that outside by the barbecue. That was a nice night.
I was on Fox back then. They hired me to do, like, hits. They hired me to be on their shows, and I was like, man, it's my first big break. And then COVID hit, and they canceled. They canceled everything. I was like, damn it. Back to the drawing board.
Look where you're at
it's
now.
Been a great
half
year.
You made it. Kid, you made it.
It took 5 more years, but I did it. Everyone's journey is different. Yeah, so it's been a great half year. Those are all great moments. We're talking about undisputed heavyweight title fights. We're talking about mega fights with Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. We're talking great knockouts. We're talking Bam Rodriguez, a star-making performance. We're talking about Nia Inoue, dominant. We're talking about a time where the top four in boxing right now are just legends, and it's probably one of the most talent-rich top four or five fighters right now, which sit back and enjoy it, because I know a lot of fans like to complain. But we're living in a time where it's like, we got Crawford, we got Usyk, we got Inoue, we got Canelo, we got Bivol. Am I missing anyone? We got Bam. Like, it's crazy. The talent right now in the sport.
Yeah, but a lot of them are long in the tooth. And we're having a changing of the guard. You know, you mentioned Anthony Joshua's got five more fights. Usyk is 37 years old. Fury is 35. Canelo is 33 and aging quick. You know, Terrence Crawford's 36, and he probably doesn't have much left in him either. So, we're in a transition period. Yeah, everything, we're high on the horse right now, but like, we're almost at a dream team situation at this point, where it's just like, you know, these guys are on their way out.
Dream team.
Yeah, yeah. What's next? We gotta. There's gonna be a changing of the guard. So, it's gonna be an interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of talent.
Just like BC said, man, you can't have 2 good years in a row. Well, we got 2, but we might have a bad one next year because we're trying to figure out.
But
I don't think so.
I still think there's time for these guys. I still think there's like 2 or 3 more years for these guys before, like, you know, Gervonta Davis, 30 years old, he should start taking over, especially if he beats Lomachenko, Bam Rodriguez, in a way, just turning 30. So yeah, I do agree. Like, they are, like, some of these guys
who,
are.
Who are your next
Crawford's
guys?
36.
Up?
Bam, obviously.
Gervonta, Bam, David Benavidez, Jaron
Ennis.
Ennis.
And then there's like really down the tracks, like Bruce Carrington, Keyshawn Davis.
Possibly Jared Anderson.
Jared Anderson, I need to see him.
He's closer.
On the street. We'll see. August 3rd. Those are the guys that are up next. Like, Bivol is up there in age. Not really, but he's up there in experience. Beterbiev is 40.
He's on his way out.
On his way out. Like, Spence, who's in the top 10 sometimes, clearly has one and a half feet out. Yeah. And then, I guess, Fundora. I guess you have to, like, look at him as a legitimate threat.
No, I think Tim Zhu, Virgil Ortiz
is very much one of the next in line.
I'm thinking of going through the divisions.
I'm very high on Virgil.
160, there's nothing. Like, there's a lot of these guys. Like, Abdullah Mason's fighting this weekend. He's not close.
Yeah,
those
guys, like the Bruce Carringtons, the Abdullah, they got a long way to go. David Morrell.
I think Carrington is way ahead of Abdullah. Carrington's now ranked
number
one.
Sure, he is, but I think a lot of that's fluff because he has yet to fight a world class guy. Like, we love to anoint people way too early. You know, it's kind of similar to how what we did to Matias, and he was not that young, and like, he was getting anointed, you know, by the Puerto Rican fans. They got pictures of him with Tito Trinidad, and like, oh, this is the next guy, and then he gets beat his next fight. We cannot anoint these guys too early. It takes time. It takes metal. It takes hardening. You know, it's like folding steel. These guys who are going to step over into the next position, they need to be hardened and folded over many, many times before they can be like hardy.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the next half of the year. Will Canelo fight Benavidez? Probably not. What will happen in the heavyweight division? Will Joshua become 3-time heavyweight champion? Then if he wins, will he fight the winner of Fury versus Usyk? Who wins Beterbiev Bivol? Does it actually happen on October 14th? Does Gervonta Davis fight Lomachenko? Does he evaporate Lomachenko? Does Lomachenko have one great performance left on him? What happens with Ryan Garcia? What happens with Devin Haney? Does Teofimo Lopez get back into the mix? Does Inoue fight? There's a lot to happen in the next 6 months, so it's an awesome time as a boxing fan. Everything is, and the best part about it, Chris, everything is possible. Any fight can be made now in boxing because of Saudi Arabia. Any fight. And I don't think
doesn't matter
ever
what promoter
time,
you're with, doesn't matter what network you're on.
Exactly. I don't think there was ever a time in the last 20 years where you could say that. So it comes with a lot of caveats, but if you just want to watch good fights, if you just want to see the best fight the best, it can be done.
It's good for the fans and it's good for the fighters because the fighters are getting paid. So, you know, it's all good.
Yes, very good. Let's quickly go through the fights this weekend. Shakur Stevenson is getting back into the ring as Artem Hartunian. Hartunian is notable for going the distance with Frank Martin. For Shakur, is this potentially his last fight with Top Rank? Does he need a knockout? I believe so. Will he get a knockout? Probably not. Nope. It's a very quiet Shakur Stevenson fight week. I think his brand is at an all-time low. but it could change with a good performance, and it can change with a new promoter.
Yeah, I've got an idea. I haven't heard anything. I don't know. Like, I'm not speaking as if I have some inside intimate knowledge. But just the way that I know that Top Rank maneuvers, it seems like, to me, it seems like he's going to resign, because usually when you're on your way out from Top Rank, they put you in a killer, and usually it's a killer that they have rights to. Artem's not that guy. Artem's actually there to make Shakur look great. Stylistically,
right.
Solid guy, very physically strong, not a big puncher, but strong. Decent boxing skills, cannot outbox Shakur. He's going to have to fight him. And it's going to leave a lot of opportunities for Shakur to piece him up. And Artem, to me, seems like a fighter, and he's not going to stay on the outside and just try and box. I think he's going to take chances and try and win. Again, it's going to make Shakur look good. It's a lot of opportunities for Shakur to do what he does. And then it's just, you know, if he's, why else, where else would he go, right? Where are the other champions in the weight class? Lomachenko's for what? With who?
Eddie Hearn has said, I'm making a run at Shakur Stevenson.
To fight who? The champions?
That's what Eddie Hearn does.
Of course he does. But you're going to have a guy sitting in a barren wasteland where you can't make the fights. You've got Baranchek, Top Rank guy now. Very easy to make that fight, which would be the logical next step. You go pick up another belt. Now you're unified. Okay. Lomachenko, Top Rank. Lomachenko seems like he's fighting Tank Davis, right? So there's going to be unification over there. Most likely Davis wins that fight. Davis now has two belts and Shakur has two belts. Boom. The next step, boom. Unification. They have to fight now. The promoters will cross streams. They will cross streams for unification.
Chris, and they will, because if we're reading about this Tank and Lomachenko discussions going so swimmingly, why wouldn't they make Shakur versus Gervonta, which would be another PBC Top Rank?
Right. So now the negotiations have already, the lines of communication between the two organizations have already been made, right? So say Tank wins, boom, you got two belts on that side, you got two belts on this side. These guys have already been in negotiation. They've already talked. They've already communicated. They've already been able to make a deal happen. Boom, make another deal happen. Now we have unification 135. We have a massive, massive fight with Shakur Stevenson and Tank Davis. Boom, easy fight. Yoel Lomachenko wins. Forget it. He goes right back to Top Rank. Now you got it. Very easy to make that fight. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Shakur to leave Top Rank at this moment, which maybe a couple months ago it did. Right now it doesn't. And again, just thinking, you know, what I'm looking at with what's on the wall and the fact that he's fighting Artem, and it's a very winnable fight, and it's not a guy that Top Rank has. It seems to me like I would assume Shakur would be making the right business move by sticking with Top Rank, at least for a deal, fight-to-fight deal, or at least a couple-fight deal, with the promise that they can make the Tank Davis fight happen. And that makes everybody happy, because those two are going to make boatloads of money. The boxing world is going to be super tuned in. They're thirsty for that fight, whether it's a good fight or not. It just makes too much sense, you know?
Yeah. Good points all around. taking us underneath the hood there on like what fighters on the last fight of their contracts usually have to deal with. Artem Hartinian is a +1200 underdog. Shakur by knockout, so any stoppage is +105 according to DraftKings Sportsbook. So Vegas isn't too high on Shakur stopping him. Those aren't great odds for him stopping, but yeah. If Top Rank and PBC are willing to work together, I could see a path for Stevenson to fight Gervonta Davis. Stevenson has talked about
it. It seems like Davis, in terms of where they're moving, they're looking to go hyperdrive now. Like he's taking all.
Yeah, you asked who's up next, right? You asked me who's up next. Like Gervonta Davis has been up next.
Seems like he's primed and ready.
Popular. Yeah, he's primed now to make the biggest fight. So there was rumors that Shakur was going to go to PBC and like they were offering him a Gervonta Davis fight, but he didn't know when it was going to come. He said it could come the fifth or sixth fight of Gervonta's deal, which is apparently a six fight deal or a seven fight deal. So Stevenson, I think, is going to test the waters, and he absolutely should. Just like any other athlete, when they hit free agency, you deserve to listen to every single offer. To listen to Eddie Hearn. I don't know if Oscar will make a pitch. Top Rank will make their pitch. PBC will make their pitch.
The only fight for Golden Boy is Zepeda.
Which who fights this weekend too? Like the only, like his stock is low, Stevenson, but he is a star. Like he is a name. Like he elicits a response from you. You might not like the way he fights. He can change that. Not easily, but he could change that if he really wants to. But
his stock is low as if he's in a bear market. His stock is not low because he's actually a very valuable asset. So you got to think about it that way. Yeah. So it's still Shakur Stevenson.
Shakur by stoppage. If you can think he can just piece up Artem and stop him like death by a thousand cuts, that could be some value there, plus 105. Other than that, probably wouldn't touch that. Oshaki Foster, world champion, is fighting Robson Conceição. I think that could be a really fun fight. Keyshawn Davis is on this card against Miguel Mueduano. I think Keyshawn Davis is primed for a huge 18 months. Abdullah Mason is also on this card way down the line, but a really, really good-looking 19-year-old fighter. So this, they're stacking cards, top-ranked, doing what they usually do, Prudential Center, Newark. I like this, man. Like, if it wasn't 4th of July weekend, like, I would probably go to this. Stevenson, Foster, Keyshawn Davis, Abdullah Mason, you get your money's worth if you get in that Prudential Center at, like, 7 p.m. That's over on Top Rank. Over on Golden Boy, even quieter fight week, is William Zepeda, who is, we labeled him, top five must-watch fighter in boxing today. Breaks all sorts of copy box records. Is a dark horse at 135. Is fighting Giovanni Cabrera. Giovanni Cabrera famously lost, quote-unquote, to Pitbull Cruz on the Spence Crawford undercard. Zepeda, like, I just feel like is so good, but is never mentioned among the Stevenson, the Haneys, the Gervonta Davises. Well, I shouldn't mention Haney because he's not there anymore, but I like Zepeda. We love Zepeda. He's fighting this weekend.
Love Zepeda. I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. Obviously, a two-fisted guy who throws a million punches, has good power in both hands. Seek and destroy type guy, but I realize that he's actually way better, you know, skill-wise, than just that kind of guy who just overwhelms people. So, we like Zepeda, and I've said this time and time again. I want him to fight every single one of these guys. I don't know if he beats any of them, the top guys, but it would be still fun as hell. It's still fun as hell. It's fun to have a guy like him in the weight class because he's just a super fun guy. He's gonna push everybody. He's gonna make everybody step their game up, and he might beat some of them. So, you know, it's not even a crazy thought to see him, like, you know, beating one of the top guys, like, just, you know, has a stellar performance and, you know, just overwhelms people and just, you know, is out there and, you know, hits harder than we think. Yeah, you know, it's possible. I like him, but he's gonna get left out quite a bit because of what I mentioned earlier.
He's going to get left out unless he takes, like, short money. I also don't know what Oscar, like, I think Oscar and Top Rank are more likely to work together. Like, Shakur versus Zepeda, I feel like, wish they were fighting this weekend. They're fighting on the same night. Like, at least their schedules are aligned. Like, I could see Bob and Oscar working together to give us a Shakur versus Zepeda down the line. Zepeda is a minus 2,000 favorite, so he's going to absolutely wash him. Over on Famio and also on PPV.com. Order it on PPV.com. Nate Diaz, Jorge Masvidal, 10 rounds, which is wild. I talked to
10 threes Masvidal. Or 10 twos?
I don't know. I said, why 10 rounds? And he didn't really have a good answer. He was just like, this is what we want to do. Nate Diaz, plus 200 favorite, according to DraftKings.
Masvidal, Diaz is favorite?
225. Yeah, Diaz is the underdog.
Okay, yeah.
Masvidal is the favorite. Even though it's Masvidal's first boxing match since 2003, Diaz got in the ring, got pummeled by Jake Paul. That's over on PPV.com where you can find me. Daniel Jacobs fighting on the undercard against Shane Mosley Jr.
Shane Mosley Jr.
versus
Daniel Jacobs. He's been on a bit of a tear at times.
Yes, I like that fight. So if you do order it at PPV.com. Join me in the chat. We'll have a grand old time. Been a hell of a year, Chris. Been a hell of a half year, I should say. Biggest, before we say goodbye, biggest prediction for the second half of the year?
Biggest prediction is such that
me, Dan will be an Adonis. His body will just, his muscles will just keep growing.
No. Anyway. My biggest prediction is going to be that we are going to see more Turki Alal Sheikh Riyadh season fights on U.S. soil past August 3rd. At least one, maybe two more.
Hope so.
That's going to be my prediction.
Because that means.
And my other prediction, which is not a positive one, my other prediction, which is not a positive one, is that Tyson Fury and Usyk are not going to fight this year.
Yeah. My prediction is that Gervonta Davis is going to end Vasily Lomachenko.
Ooh.
It's going to be one of his most brutal knockouts.
Really?
That's my big prediction. Yeah, and Gervonta is going to take over. I know there's a big debate about him being the face of boxing.
I hate saying it, but it's very possible. I would hate to see
That's going to be a scene.
Yeah.
That's what makes that fight intriguing.
Bro, if he does a Frank Martin-esque KO of Lomachenko, face of boxing. Crossover star. Well, put him in movies at that point.
I know,
point.
And it was – put him in Naked Gun. It's a great movie of the 80s. I was just great watching movie. It on great TV.
You couldn't make that ever. You couldn't make that now.
No, I was watching it was on one of the – like I still have the cable network – cable channels. I don't know why. I'm like probably the last person.
Because you're old man Dan.
Just so you can flip through. I love flipping through. Flipping through the channels because I would never put Naked Gun on my own. Who would put Naked Gun on their own?
I think you're actually a boomer. Like you're not even you're not even in your age group. You are probably a boomer.
Because I love flipping through the channels. I was flipping through. You stop, you watch it for 20 minutes, you laugh, keep going. That's
we're technically millennials, right? We're millennials?
Yes, I mean, I was having this discussion.
You definitely are. So you're probably you're like a Gen Xer then.
No.
Man. You got the mindset of a Gen Xer. You flip channels, bro. You flip channels. Millennials don't even know what that means.
No, you're going the other way around. Millennials know about flipping channels. Gen X doesn't.
No.
Oh, man. I don't know either.
No. What's the millennials?
What's the generation now? What's like the generation at John Boy?
Gen Moron.
Yeah. The Gen Morons don't know about flipping through the channels. Millennials do.
But there's numerous generations after. All right, listen. Listens to this for us talking about this nonsense because we don't even know what we're talking about. Let's go back to boxing.
I don't know where I was going with this. I think I was trying to say
flipping channels.
Yeah, Gervonta Davis. Gervonta Davis is going to have a coming out party by destroying Lomachenko and maybe solidifying himself even more as the face of boxing because his pay-per-view numbers came out. There were 325 to 350, which is a great number. In the age of piracy, in the age where he wasn't fighting a household name in Frank Martin, it wasn't heavily promoted by Amazon.
Right, no, not at all. He complained about that.
325, 350 is really good. It's not
which
Canelo.
Is so crazy that Canelo. That's good. Like, that's crazy that that's a good number now. Because, you know, Dan, we grew up in the De La Hoya Floyd Mayweather days
millions.
When if a million buys was like, okay, good. All right, that was good.
Bro, like 980 was like 770 was like the 350 in terms of pay-per-view buys. Yeah. But I think Gervonta Davis, that's a really good number. I think more than that, like he sold tickets. More than that, like it's just a cultural thing. When he fights, like I see people tweeting about boxing that I usually never see in sports, so that's that matters into the whole.
George Foreman said boxing is a sport to which all other sports aspire, and it just seems that Gervonta Davis is the guy who gets the attention of other athletes. So I 100% agree.
Yes, that factors into face of boxing. He's one of the faces of boxing. It's Canelo, it's Joshua, it's Fury, it's him. Like probably missing some. It's the end of the show. All right, everybody, have a great week. What are you going to say, Chris?
I'm going to say just have fun. Don't blow off any fingers. I got all my 10 fingers and toes. Fireworks are stupid, but enjoy. America's cool.
I saw a meme that was like, there's a couple people out there that they don't even realize this is their last day with 10 fingers.
It's so bad.
It's very true. One was a New York Giant, JPP.
Everybody take care of your dogs. Fingers. They're going to freak out. Make sure your dogs are comfortable. Put a thunder vest on them. Make sure that they're cool.
Thunder
check
buddies.
On them a lot. Give them some Benadryl.
All right, everyone. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Order the fights on PPV.com. We'll see you in the live chat. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. If you have a glizzy, I'm not even going to end that. DMs. Goodbye.
T Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.